Well, I've been talking in my series here about who we are as the church, the body of Christ, and some of the interesting providential essentials that I look at and see in the Bible. Kind of interesting, because what I see when I read my Old Testament is a lot of patterns that apply to our time, even though those stories were their time. We see the way that God is and how he works, and we see the way people are and nations are and rulers are and the elite are, and on you go. Now, I was talking the other day about Babylon and being free from a Babylonian system. Let's get back into that a little bit, because here we are as the body of Christ, Jesus and the apostles used in the Bible. The word ekklesia or ecclesia, A-E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, a Greek word. It meant you're a called out one. And we are called out together and we gather together for business, God's business. That's the word that everywhere in our New Testament is translated church, except it should be in English an assembly or called out ones or congregation, not church. We found out something happened. It explains a whole lot of the struggles we have in what we know as church. We found out that King James decided, he ordered, in fact, the teams of translators for the Bible, for the King James Bible, not use the word ekklesia. Instead, they would use a different Greek word that would indicate the property of the lords, and Kyriakos, where you get the root word Kyrios, which is still used actually in church someplace. The Kyria means belonging to the Lord, submitting to the Lord, kneeling to the Lord, that sort of thing. And so they would apply it to the church, the building, the people, where you go. And of course, what King James wanted to be and Henry VIII was, is the head of the church. Only Jesus is the head of the church. In fact, they went to war with Scotland over who was the head of the church. Was the king head of church or Christ head of the church? And, oh my gosh. But we have a system, and I've been explaining this, where even to this day, the systems and the governments and the organization and all the stuff we have, we come together as the church, belonging to the Lord, to belonging to the government, in a sense, rather than to Christ. Now we say, yeah, we belong to Christ. We bow the knee to Christ. Yes, we do. But I was explaining to you how the ecclesia started out, the church started out in Palestine as a fellowship and began to get organized. And then and met at homes, met anywhere, two or three could gather, was all part of it, you know. And it started to get so organized that by the third century, when Constantine came along and became a Christian, he institutionalized the church, forbade meeting in homes, and made it into a institution, and had everybody had to go and meet at the pagan temples converted to churches, and everybody had to submit as Christians to the government. Kind of like you get in China. You got to be registered with the government, every Christian, and they control everything from what you can say and what you can do and all the stuff, you know. That's what it was. And then all the trappings are there from the Roman Senate and such, the pomp and ceremony and all that, which is still in the mainstream churches. Weirdly enough, I grew up in this. I was part of this. I got called by God in the middle of this. I experienced revival in this because God loves us, but we're in a system of captivity, weirdly enough, kind of a Babylonian captivity where the government really has everything. Eventually in the Reformation, it became, after the Reformation, a corporation. So now we have a system where our churches are all incorporated at the pleasure of the government of Canada and the government of BC. And weirdly enough, we continued on the trend here. And boy, didn't we turn our churches and our ministries and such into, well, just, you know, commerce, money changers. And, you know, we turned it into an enterprise. And this is the situation we find ourselves now in the body of Christ. Jesus loves us. God loves us. God has come down and visited us in the midst of that kind of captivity. But it's a lid to captivity, and God is wanting to set things free. And this is what I was sort of talking about the other day. But what we're called to be, Christians gathering together, ecclesia, called out ones, who gather together with the love of God over us, with the canopy of Christ and the shadow and shelter of his wings over top of us as we gather. In the church in the New Testament, a lot of protection from God. Remember, we see stories that are amazing. With ministries of all sorts rising up amongst us, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, but everyone caring for everyone else in ministries amongst us, instead of being spectators at a church service on Sunday morning, so much more than that, we can all prophesy one by one, and there's teachers and apostles, and it's just multitudes of this inside the body of Christ, but, you know, we have made it a system where it's paid staff, right? And not only that, we experience the overflowing, overarching, incredible chesed love of God over us. The body of Christ is hungry for this. You and I are hungry for this. We say, Lord, pour it out on us and expand our view of what it means to be a believer in Christ. Expand our view of what the ecclesia is, because it's not confined to an organization you become a member of to satisfy the requirements of the government of the BC. It's not about you, you know, being at a particular place at a moment like Sunday morning at 10. It's about you gathering together with believers wherever, whenever, however you want. You're together. You love one another. You care for one another. You flow in the gifts of the Spirit one another. You minister one another. You pray for one another. You see the power of God come with one another. You're healed. But not only that, our prayers and intercessions have power and effect and move the hand of government and move the devil out and God in. And that's what the plan is for his ecclesia. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the ecclesia that Christ builds, the Bible says. That means the gates come down, we go in. You understand? And the gates of hell are up there and fast. They're up there in the media right now. They're up there in the government right now. They're up there in the institutions and the education and the universities and the corporations and all of that stuff. The gates of hell, they've entrenched themselves. It's time for God's people to arise, gather, be the ecclesia. When you gather, listen to the Spirit, follow the Lord, believe the power of God in the prayer. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. Now, I want to say, I see these patterns going on from the Old Testament in our time right now. I talked about Babylon the other day. I want to talk about a different one, because after Babylon was conquered. Now, Babylon's a picture of the world system that comes up again and again in the Bible. It was there with Nimrod. He was the first dictator, ruler, tyrant, enslaved people in the book of Genesis to build his city of Babylon. Come, let us build. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's reach to heaven, you know, and God had to scatter that. Then we get Babylon, the nation later on. God raised up the Medes and Persians to scatter that. We're going to have Babylon in the book of Revelation, and that the whore rides on Babylon's back, and that's the church that is not walk, you know, it's turned as prostituted herself instead of being faithful to the Lord. But Babylon in the Bible there falls, the Medes and Persians comes in, and Cyrus, king of the first king coming in there, or issues an order for the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. Come on. There's an order going out right now. Come on back to me. Come on and rebuild. Come prepare. Come prepare. Jesus called it like a bride. Prepare for the bridegroom. And prepare the city of God. Prepare in the building. And some answered Most didn't follow that call back to Jerusalem because, hey, God had prospered them in Babylon and they were allowed to stay after the Medes and Persians conquered them. Even though Cyrus gave the order and Cyrus going to pay for it, they didn't go back. But some did and started a building process. But the devil was out to stop them. The devil was out to stop what God wanted to do. And that's where you get the story of Esther and wicked Haman, Agite. You know, idol worshiper that had got up to number two under the king Ahasuerus. And this is the time when the people of God were going to go back to rebuild in Jerusalem. And the devil's got a plan up to destroy all the people of God before they get there. What's the plan? His plan was through Haman, they were going to see, he got so jealous of Mordecai and the fact that the people of God would not bow down to him and his system. See, and that's what's going on in the world right now. The world's systems are angry that believers in Christ, the conservatives in the nation politically, will not bow down to the new world government. They're determined to come and to take over and take everything and take us out. Just like Naaman, that wicked Haman. What did Haman do? He arranged with the king for the, he called him, he lied. He said that they're enemies of the state. The king signed the order, and he had arranged a day when they would conquer them, kill them, and take everything they owned. But God had put Esther in place, and she reveals that she's really a Jew. She reveals what the real plot is, and Haman is taken away to hung in the gallows that he built for Uncle Mordecai. And they go, what are we going to do? Instead of the date when the Jews would be killed and everything they had taken, there's a date set when the Jews would deal with their enemies, all these elite followers of that wicked Haman, and overthrow them and take what they've got. Here's the pattern. We look at what's going on in the world right now, and we see the George Soros and the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization and the UN, all these elites. And it's like Soros is like Haman, man. I'm telling you, that guy, he has declared he's going to take every. He's actually said this, that they're taking everything. Will of nothing. I saw the videos. I played them on Spirit FM. And they're going to overthrow God. They've basically said, you won't need God anymore because you'll have AI, you know, and you won't even be human anymore. You'll be having technology under the skin, all this kind of pronouncement. And would you believe they've actually set a date to do this, just like Haman did? It's 2030. 2030 is the date. It's been set. It all looks pretty to deceive everybody. It's a big deception, like they tried to, like Haman deceived King Ahasuerus. These are enemies. We have to get rid of them. But then the truth come out, and the truth is coming out right now. I tell you what, in the midst of what's going on today, Haman's plot to stop the people of God from rebuilding, rising up, and what the Lord has in mind with the ecclesia, that wicked Haman, he's got it ready to take everything from us and destroy us. But God's raising up the Esthers who are moving in, who are going to overthrow and overdo this. God's raising up the political figures here, there, and everywhere. I see them. You watch the politicians that will stand up. They're standing up around the world right now to this plan, this 2030 plan, this globalist plan, this Haman plan through George Soros and the others to take everything, leave us nothing. They're trying to bring the whole system down to do it. Guess what? The Lord has raised up the Esthers around the world, and that date is being overthrown. Yep, the Nimrod Babylonian system is about to be shaken and fall, and the Hamans are about to lose their head and be impaled on the gallows they built for us, and the Mordecais. Mordecai is the uncle for Esther, and he's a Jew. And he wouldn't bow to Haman because he's faithful to God. And Haman was from the people that were enemies of God. And not only that, God raises him up to take Haman's place. And they set a date and a time to take everything. That's the great wealth transfer that God wants to do for the people of God. Wow. All of this building up right now. Do you see what I'm seeing? I'm talking about the prophetic vision I've got when I look at what's going on in the nations. And I look at what goes on in the Old Testament and these stories. You're being called. You're a called out one. You're ecclesia. You're being called to gather together under him. No longer have your mentality and direction and life shaped by this Babylonian system that wants to overrule and control and take everything and destroy the faith. You're being called to stand for Christ. Come together. Start to do more than just Sunday morning meeting. Do more in the gatherings. Do more in the praying. Do more in the prophesying. Do more in the Spirit. Do more in the joy of the Lord. Do more in Jesus and let him gather and shape and raise up his people like we've never seen before. Oh God, do it here, there, and everywhere, inside and outside of our church organizations. Lord, raise up your people. And put that wicked Haman up there, string him up on his own gallows. I pray right now your faith be spiked and inspired, and you get what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a prophetic figure from the Old Testament stories. It applies. It's a pattern that fits now. God's doing it. May you be blessed in Jesus' name. May you take faith in Jesus' name. May you be strengthened in Jesus' name in the power of his might. Do not submit again to that old yoke of bondage, but be free in Christ.